Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the honourable captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To get a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay Busta and Andrew Patterson will preview this weekend's Scottish Cup final. We'll also be joined by Paul Thompson of the By the Minute Celtic podcast for a view from the opposition. We'll look back in games against Hamilton, Partick Thistle and St Johnston. Plenty to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers. How do?
All right.
Jay, I'll start with yourself and we'll look back firstly on yesterday's excellent 3-0 victory over Hamilton. I wasn't there, but I've caught the highlights now, and considering the squad was somewhat depleted, a lot of fringe players given their opportunities, that's a very impressive result and a fine way to end the season.
Yeah, that's we've spoke quite a fair bit since the split about staying focused and getting a bit of momentum and trying to still play well and get good results in the build-up to the cup final. And I don't think it could have got any better than it did yesterday. I think if you're going to get into the last game of the season, like you say, throwing in some youngsters, some fringe players, but you still obviously want to feel good going into the cup final. You want to get a good result. You want to put in good performances. So I think to beat Accies 3-0 and the way we did, I think basically ticked every box, and you can go in. Again, we've spoke in the past about the way we approached the 2011 Scottish Cup final and the way we almost bombed every post-split fixture because, McCall wanted to rest everybody, and it was almost as though there was so much importance put on just keeping everybody fit for the cup final that our form suffered, our confidence suffered, and we really turned up at Hampden that year. I believe kind of already expecting to get an absolute doing because you just witnessed some really poor performances and poor results in the build-up. Whereas Saturday, gives us the exact opposite effect. You now go into Saturday buzzing, full of confidence, knowing that the players who, you rested will be fit, and the players who will perhaps be on the bench, I know Chief G aside because he can't play, but you know that you also have players who put in performances on Saturday that mean that if they're not even starting on Saturday coming, they might be on the bench and able to come on and change the game. So I think as far as an end to the season or the league campaign goes, with one eye on the Scottish Cup final, I don't think it could have got much better.
Buster, that's a very good point that Jay raises there. The results post-split, there was obviously what was described as a freak result against St Johnston last week, but you bounce back with victories over Partick Thistle and Hamilton, having already previously defeated Dundee as well. So three wins from the five split fixtures, a draw at Ross County. St Johnston result aside, it's been a productive post-split, hasn't it? We've done well, we've put 10 points on the board, we've clinched 7th place, which is as high as we possibly could have finished. So a satisfying couple of weeks and absolutely ideal build-up.
I think you're right. It's been, well, again, as you say, the St Johnston game aside, it's been pretty positive in the after the split. And, I think the St Johnston game, we were sort of joking, it's good to get the bad ones out of the way. But, two wins in a bounce, then into the final. the form there's, you know, looking impressive. So hopefully they get a wee bit of momentum and carry it on, because, you know, as we've seen with the last couple of games, Celtic seem to be a bit, you know, relaxed about these sort of things. They beat off Aberdeen a day, and I think they drew with Kilmarnock the game before. But, you know, as you say, the two wins in a trot maybe see as good there going into next week.
Andy, in terms of individual performances, Nadia Chiefji really turning on the style yesterday. Two fantastic goals. Unfortunate not to have a hat-trick, one coming back off the crossbar. It's a shame that it's taken quite as long for Chiefji to kind of find his feet and show exactly what he's capable of, particularly given that due to his contract being with Celtic, and Celtic being his parent club, he won't be able to play next weekend.
Yeah, disappointing that he's not eligible for next weekend. It's one of those things, isn't it? You make the loan arrangements that we know that he's not going to be able to play against his parent club, and it's just been a bit unfortunate that it so happens that we're playing them in the cup final. But I think overall, he signed off, if that proves to be his last game in Claret Amber, he signed off in fine style. I think it was that kind of display was the kind of performance that we hoped we were going to get from him whenever he arrived in loan. And, you know, we naturally think back to the displays and the goals he scored with Dundee United, and we'd hope that we could see some of that replicated. Hasn't quite turned out like that. He's a player I'd certainly like to see back at the club if there was any possibility of doing a deal. That largely depends on Celtic, obviously, whether they're prepared to release him from his contract, and then thereafter whether he would, I would imagine, be prepared to take what I would guess would be a hefty drop in wages to come to us. But in terms of what he can deliver, he gave a glimpse of that yesterday. As Robinson said himself quite plainly, he's never been fully fit. I don't know what percentage he was actually at whenever he came to the club, but it was unfortunate. He got to a certain level, got injured, and he's really just been kind of catching up ever since. And he's a player I would be quite interested to see back, get a full pre-season behind him at Firth Park, and see what he could offer you in full next season. But certainly yesterday, I mean, the wee flick, the back heel pass, for example, you know, I didn't actually appreciate it, having only seen the wee Twitter clip in the last wee hour or so, quite how many intricate nutmegs were involved in his goal as well. And obviously there's the kind of powerful finish that was unfortunate enough to come off the crossbar. So he certainly signed off in fine style.
Buster, it seems very unlikely that Nadia Chiefji will have any sort of future with Celtic. They've loaned him out to Turkey, Plymouth Argyle, then obviously to ourselves as well. Somebody's trying to rally a car in the background, so sorry about the interference there. But I think the sticking point, of course, is going to be his wages. Can we afford a somewhat luxury player like Nadia Chiefji, or do you think it's come as too little too late?
I don't know, to be honest with you. As you say, obviously the wages would be the main point there. It depends, really. I think it's one of those ones where it depends on what Nadia Chiefji wants, or what he can get as well. I suppose, you know, if he's come to this club, he's had a good time. I think it was Stevie Robinson again was saying how good a guy he is, how great he's been in the dressing room, things like that. And you know, if he's enjoying himself that much and he's willing to take a wee bit of pay cut, you know, having had, what was it, two or three years there at Celtic, probably earning 10 grand a week or whatever. You know, if he's made his money, so to speak, and he's want to try and kickstart his career again, somewhere like us would be ideal for him, where he seems to fit in. And I think, to be honest with you, he splits our fans. I think a lot of people, you know, Joe and Marty, our group in particular, don't think he's very productive. I'm a bit in the middle there somewhere, and I know, Jay, that you think he does well with ourselves. So again, I don't know if we're the club that would be able to afford him. I don't know if he'd want to drop his wages. I think he's still got a year at Celtic, as you probably said there. You know, is he going to get a payoff at Celtic, or is he going to be just loaned out again? I think there's maybe a good chance he could come back on loan, depending on the terms there. But who knows?
Jay, it's it's a difficult one, I suppose. You've got a player that has got so much natural ability, but sometimes actually getting it out of him has been a trouble throughout his career, I suppose. The fact that he did look so happy at full time, and it just kind of suggests to me that he maybe has found a home at Fir Park. That might sway his decision making if he is a player that's driven by playing football and not by the wage packet, of course.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's so many unknowns. We don't know what he's, you know, like off the park in terms of his financial management. You know, if he's quite frugal with his money, then he might have earned enough at Celtic Park that he doesn't need to be looking for big money. Also don't know what's going through his head in terms of you know, what he really expects. If Celtic were to perhaps let him leave in the summer, does he think that there's going to be clubs, you know, knocking the door down to try and sign him? Or does he, you know, is he more likely to think that, you know, maybe those days are behind unless he can, you know, recapture a bit of his previous form? Are we going to be, you know, the one standout club that's interested? I mean, there's so many, you know, unknowns. At the end of the day, at this stage, I would say his career at Motherwell is over. And until anything changes with regards to his situation at Celtic, then, you know, I wouldn't expect to see him back. If it's something that we can do, if it's something that the, you know, Robinson's keen on, if it's something that Chief G would want to do, and crucially, it's, you know, it would see him receiving, you know, a similar wage to the likes of Curtis Mayne or Ryan Bowman, then by all means, I think he, you know, what he offers, I think is, you know, it's something different. He's not in the same mould as those guys. Yes, it can be frustrating at times, but I think he's just got that little bit of class. You know, some of his touches, some of his passing ability is second to none. And I think if you've got somebody different, like a little bit of a maverick, then it can be, it can win you points, it can win you games. Because sometimes, particularly this season, we talk about somebody like Craig Tanner and how our goals kind of dried up when Tanner got injured. And a lot of that was because Tanner is kind of widely accepted as being our creative player. We don't have a great deal. We've got some really hard-working, you know, really dedicated professional footballers, but we don't have a great amount of creativity, and I think Chief G offers you that.
We'll move on and look at the midweek clash with Partick Thistle. Ended in a 1-0 victory. Again, up against a team that were fighting for their lives, Andy. They've obviously ended the season in that playoff position. You're going toe-to-toe with a team like that. We've got everything to play for. You're on the back of a 5-1 defeat against St Johnston. It was the absolute ideal way to respond, and albeit the first half was pretty poor in my opinion, but I thought the second half Motherwell really showed up and deserved the 3 points in the end.
Yeah, I would agree we were worthy of our win that evening. It was a slow start with some echoes of the game against Dundee, in fact, where we might well have found ourselves a goal behind after something like about 10-15 seconds. And it took a couple of good stops from Trevor Carson to keep us level. And as you say, as the game progressed, we kind of came more and more into it. Never really threatened at all in the first half, other than perhaps about, there was a spell where I think we had about four or five corners in quick succession. And that seemed to kind of change the kind of course of the game slightly, in that having been pretty dominant, well, it gave Thistle something to think about, that they knew then that we weren't going to simply roll over. And he seemed to be a bit hesitant at that, and we came increasingly more into it. The half-time change really changed the course of the game, and second half we were worthy winners. It was encouraging to see the seamless way that David Turnbull slotted into the midfield. He looked very accomplished in possession of the ball and spraying it kind of left and right and wherever, and his delivery for the free kick for Ryan Bowman's finish was first class as well. We didn't have a huge amount of chances to add to our lead thereafter, but we then saw everything that's been good about Motherwell this season. There was a clear desire that we weren't going to concede. You know, a game that couple of games to go before the end of the season with a cup final, and you know, as discussed in the past, there's many a manager will have taken the strategy, just see things out and we'll keep yourself fit. But you know, with players throwing themselves into challenges, blocks right to the end, and you know, good a lot of desire and character shown to see the result through. But that was a good one. A place that we don't do particularly well at, and as you say, against an opposition who were desperate to get the points for their own needs. So it was quite a satisfying victory as well. Also really encouraging to see Thomas Sherney take another wee hissy fit or two. He's not a player I particularly like, so to see him kind of come up for corners, things like that, and not quite turn out his way for him, and another wee hissy fit after we scored, added to the sense of enjoyment for me that night anyway.
David Turnbull, Jay, first start in a Motherwell jersey, and it was a very, very accomplished performance, as Andy alluded to there. Plays the game with his head up, looks very confident, very assured. It was it's maybe a bit too soon to be singing his name from the rafters, but at the same time, he can't not have really impressed the manager there and put himself in the reckoning, at least to be in the squad on the 19th of May.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought both he and Alan Campbell were absolutely top class the second half on Tuesday night. It was just a joy to watch, because you know, if you're a Motherwell fan, that's kind of what you want to see. You want to see these young guys getting their chance, and not just getting their chance, but actually being, you know, the best players in the park. And I thought that, you know, Turnbull, he was just so composed. You know, you would have thought that he'd been in the first team for months. You know, there was very little, you know, in the way of nerves or anxiety or anything like that. He looked confident, he looked composed. He would all, you know, as you said, he played with his head up. He wasn't afraid to, get on the ball and take time. You know, there was no rushing about it. He knew what he wanted to do. He would look for the openings and he would hold off Thistle midfielders. And, you know, as Andy was saying there, you know, that's a team that were fighting for their lives. And yet Turnbull absolutely strolled it in the middle of the park in that second half. So yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no reason why Turnbull, you know, can't be in the reckoning for Saturday. Yeah, I tend to agree that maybe a starting lineup position might be unlikely, but there is absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be on the bench on Saturday, because, you know, he's waited patiently for his chance. He's probably been the one name that a lot of Motherwell fans kind of throw out there when we're talking about young guys, you know, who's next to get their opportunity. And particularly in that second half on Tuesday, he took it with both hands.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of youngsters getting their opportunities over the final games of the season. It's good to see guys coming through. Stephen Robinson has stressed that he won't just throw young guys in for the sake of it. They've got to be good enough. And Turnbull showed all the signs of a player that's more than got enough to hold his own in the first team. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to with David Turnbull, for sure. The St Johnstone game, Busta, was one that we won't dwell on too much. It was a bit of a bolt from out of the blue, really. We just really ran over the course of the game. It wasn't a game that I would say filled with St Johnstone chances either. We lost a number of poor goals. We got ourselves back in it at 3-1. Was it 4-1? I can't really remember now. No, it was 4-1, wasn't it?
I can't mind, but aye.
But again, St John's were going to score again, and just never really seemed to be at the races at all. It was quite a warning shot, I suppose, that if the levels dip, that's the kind of thing that can happen, and it happened in quite emphatic style there.
No, again, it was what, a week ago, so and it was dreadful as well, so there was not many memorable points in it for me, but I felt that St Johnstone, it was really sort of a nothing game, and St Johnstone scored with their first two or three attacks, which was fair play. You know, that's not a criticism to them. I'm just saying that's what happened, and we never really recovered from that, and we never actually seemed as though we were interested. It was
as if, you know, we maybe did have one eye elsewhere, but I think
maybe that's. I could maybe work out a good thing. I think for us, as I say, you know, get the bad ones out of the way. No doubt, hopefully a couple of arses get kicked after the game, and you know, it's maybe set a few attitudes straight there for the next two games. But you know, we've got Cup final and that to look forward to, but as I say, that game instantly forgettable for how shite we were.
And Andy, I suppose there's a few players in that the team that are considered mainstays, considered first picks. The levels did drop off in that St Johnstone game. A wee reminder to them that they have to perform to the best of their ability at all time, or they do risk losing their place. There's guys obviously on the sidelines, there's guys in the 20s that are pushing hard to get these opportunities. So if the first teamers do let the levels slip, they all can be replaced. I don't think there's one player in that starting 11 that if their levels drop, there's not a replacement kind of lurking in the sidelines.
Yeah, there's sometimes I think it's a wee bit of a contradiction in terms of the squad that we have. We look through, exactly as you say, you're exactly right. There's probably at least one person that could come in for every position in the team. But then you kind of think back to the likes of December, where a lot of those kind of squad players got an opportunity and it didn't quite come off for several of them. Flip side of that is that you see somebody like Grimshaw, who kind of came from nowhere in a sense, got a start in the League Cup final, kind of disappeared again for several months, and then emerged almost from nowhere again about 3 months ago, maybe not just as long as 3 months ago, but he kind of come back into the reckoning and suddenly looked every inch the player that we saw in his first spell with us. So you're exactly right in that there nobody can really be totally 100% assured of their place. Maybe one or two, if kind of forwards, because we don't have any other strikers that can really come in apart. But you look at the midfield, there are quite a number of options in there. There's a number of combinations that you could choose to go with and spring a surprise in the cup final, and even beyond that next season. There's a few fringe players in there. You know, the emergence of Turnbull only adds to that. You've had Ross McLean in the sidelines as well. Even like say Elliot Freer, for example, is it two or three, and that's before you kind of, you know, go into the depth in the central kind of midfield regulars. Alan Campbell's emerged throughout the course of the season as well. So there are options across the side, which is across the squad, which is good for us. Having that choice for an alternative lineup, alternative tactics, and it's something that Robinson has deployed at various times across the season. Even yesterday, there was a period where we kind of momentarily, or for a short spell, kind of went to a back four, and you'd like, you know, Barry Maguire was almost like at right back at one stage, and then we reverted back to three in the middle. And so there are a lot of options in the squad, which can only be a good thing for us going forward into next season. It remains to be seen who from our kind of first team squad will be allowed to move on, or what bids we receive and accept and have to require to replace players. But there is an emergence there of not only the kind of players that Robinson has brought into the club, but augmented with the likes of Turnbull, Campbell, McLean, with the guys that's been out on loan, like Jake Hastie as well, coming back into the club. And the options, the kind of growing squad, going to be a good thing.
Yeah, the other element of that, Jay, is that eradicates the need for a summer like we had in the close season there, where I think it was 16, 17 new faces arrive. You've obviously got the transition period where the players need to adapt to their surroundings. It can be, albeit we did make a good start to the season, but you're taking a gamble somewhat when you're having to make that many changes. It'll be good to have a summer of a fairly little transition.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the mass upheaval that we had last summer, you know, you can't really be doing with too regularly. You know, Stephen Robinson obviously got a lot of plaudits, both at the time and now, you know, for the rebuilding job. that he carried out. You know, some signings perhaps didn't live up to what we wanted, but that's what happens. By and large, I think that he did a great job of rebuilding in the summer. And, you know, there's no better kind of symbol of that than the fact that we are gearing up for our second final of the season this weekend. But it's not something you can do every summer. A rebuilding job, you know, it just wouldn't work. So, yeah, it's a good position to be in, particularly when, you know, you're going to be, you know, starting the season, you know, not in the League Cup, because we'll have won the Scottish Cup and therefore in the Europa League. So it'll be good to sort of be preparing for those, you know, another European jaunt with, you know, yes, one or two guys might leave, either because it hasn't worked out for them here or because they are our sellable assets. So it might, you know, there will still be some sort of transfer dealings, you know, maybe one or two players coming in. But certainly it is a good position to be in, that you know you've got a lot of guys there. Who are the backbone of your side, who aren't going anywhere this summer.
I would like to thank you just now for that rather lengthy answer, because I was noticing the charge was going to my phone, so I actually ran up the stairs, retrieved the charger and came back and you were still talking, so thanks very much for that. I'll give you a heads up the next time I do that. We'll go on to preview the Scottish Cup final, and I'm sure we've all got plenty to say about it. As I said earlier on, we'll be joined just now by the Minute Celtic podcaster Paul Thompson, who's joined us on a number of occasions before. Paul, thanks for joining us again. It's much appreciated, mate.
No problem. Thanks for having me back on, guys.
So obviously your guys in action today, a bit of an encouraging one from a Motherwell point of view, I suppose. Celtic losing their first home game since Motherwell won it, Celtic Park, in 2015. It seems somewhat that the ending to the season has been slightly low-key for Celtic, certainly the last two games at home, not managing to bring one goal with it.
It has. It's not been brilliant the last couple of weeks, but you've got to kind of look at the fact that, you know, if you go back 2 weeks, we went and won the league in a fair bit of style after beating the team across the city and beating them well, and then we went to Tynecastle, which is probably alongside maybe Fir Park and Pittodrie, is one of the places that we find it harder to get results at, and had a good result there. So I think they're the highest of that. I mean, take nothing away from Kilmarnock or Aberdeen either, to be fair. I mean, Aberdeen had a lot to play for today. We had nothing to play for other than entertainment value in front of, you know, on presentation day. But Kilmarnock as well, you know, they just came and played the way that they play, and, you know, you guys have had games against them this year, so you know how difficult they are to break down. So it's been low-key the last week or so, I would agree, but, you know, this time last week we were celebrating a really, really good result at Tynecastle, so I'm not despondent with the fact that we've had two goalless games.
Buster, that's something that worries me somewhat, that a Celtic team, two games without a goal. We've kind of seen this script written many times before. Obviously, it'd be very naive to write them off and put them in a bad run of form. When they're on one of these runs, though, they're a very dangerous animal, aren't they?
Well, I don't think there's any point in us kidding on. We're massive underdogs. So it's, regardless of what form Celtic are in, it's on the day you want them to no-show, basically. So I don't think, you know, Celtic's form comes into it at all. We need them to have a bit of an off day, and we need to play, you know, to the best of our abilities, whether that be, you know, trying to kick Celtic off the park, or if we choose to play football, which seems unlikely. I think you'll find that we'll go out there, hustle and bustle for the first half, hope to be nothing each at half time and see what happens. But again, it's, as you say, Celtic, the last couple of results, as I mentioned earlier, haven't been great for them, but I don't think it really matters, to be fair. They'll know what they want to do. You know, they've got two trebles in a trot, a double treble, whatever they're calling it, up for grabs, so they're not exactly going to be dally-dallying when it comes to the final themselves.
Andy, I know we've talked about this in the podcast a lot previously, but it can't be understated how brilliant a season it's been in the Cups, second final of the season. But this time, there's just this wee glimmer of positivity, I think, in terms of, I properly think we can go and, if we give it a right good shot, we've got every chance of upsetting the odds. We don't want to be, and I don't think by any stretch of the imagination we did in the League Cup final either, but we don't want to be going there and making up the numbers. We've got to believe that this is there for the taking, and we're not just kind of part of the double treble celebrations.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot that we can take encouragement from. You need only go back to the Stephen Hamill podcast the other evening, where he made the point about when we reached the 2005 League Cup final, that the game was like, you know, early stages of the game, and Motherwell were still playing the occasion, you know, looking, waving at their family in the crowd almost, and, you know, a bit taken aback by the occasion, whereas we've been to Hampden, I think, is this our fifth visit this season, so the players are very familiar with the routine. We've had a couple of really encouraging performances at Fir Park against Celtic. We did reasonably well in the League Cup final, and I'm sure the players and management feel to a slight degree there's a wee bit of unfinished business there in terms of decisions of that afternoon. So there's a lot that where we might ordinarily reach a final once in a blue moon, we go there kind of well versed, is maybe taking a wee bit too far, but we know fully the routine. We have a character in our team that I would like to think they won't go there and freeze. You know, we've had the semi-final against Rangers at Hampden, which we took care of them. We've had the semi-final against Aberdeen, we took care of them, and as I said, we performed reasonably well against Celtic in the League Cup final up until it kind of went away from us there. So I don't see us being overawed, and it then kind of boils down to, you know, what happens on the day. As Buster kind of alludes to, it's how we play it, and the kind of dangers for me with Celtic are the strength and depth that they have at their disposal. We could go out there and play fantastically well for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, hold their own, be dogged defensive, restrict them, and then they chuck on somebody like Roberts, or they chuck on somebody like Sinclair, and they have a freshness and a spark, and it becomes tiring for us to kind of deal with that, and we're then put under pressure. That is my concern. Also the fact, and I don't know if our Celtic correspondent will agree, but there's one of the kind of discussions I had with a Celtic fan in work was that he feels ordinarily we would have had a better opportunity, or will have a better opportunity, were it not for the fact that Celtic are fully aware of the history that they'll be making if they go for their successive trebles, and he feels that that is a particular incentive for them, a big driver for them for this game, where ordinarily it might just be another cup final on the back of another cup final on the back of another cup final sort of thing. So there are a couple of concerns here, but I have no fears that we will be able to go there. We won't be overawed. We will go there fully able to compete and take Celtic on, and we just hope things go our way.
Well, that's it, Paul. I don't know whether you do agree with Andy that the it's no ordinary final for Celtic due to the incentive of clinching that second successive treble.
No, I don't really agree with that at all. There's no ordinary finals. You know, we've been in a lot of finals comparatively, but every one of them is important, and every one of them, I think I said just, you know, last time before the League Cup final, Andy, every one of them is as important as the last one or the next one. You know, you just don't know. You know, it's probably unlikely that we'll go a number of years without getting to finals because of the nature of Scottish football, but we have in the past. You know, I've been in that situation in the 90s where, you know, we couldn't buy a win in a cup game, and when, you know, for us was a reasonably long period of time. So yeah, there's a degree of the team's possibly on the verge of writing something different in the history books, but I don't think that's how Rodgers thinks. I don't think that's how the players think either. It's always been take one game at a time, and the next game is the most important game thing. And I don't think anybody will really be sitting about this week worrying one way or the other about the double treble. I think the fans might, because the fans, to be honest, get more wrapped up in that kind of stuff than the players in the club do.
That's an interesting one. And talking of the players, it's kind of always these games, you look at the match report and then you check if anyone get injured. Are Celtic pretty much at full strength as it stands?
No, not really. I mean, we've got a wee doubt over Brown after today, which he got a thumper of a challenge off Shinny, which I'm not sure. Hopefully he'll be okay, but he seemed to be struggling. I don't think Eduardo will make it, which is probably good for you guys, because, you know, you're talking, when the guys was talking a minute there ago about, you know, we've got the ability to change games, and he definitely is a player with his pace and his directness that can really either, you know, as a starter or bring him into a game, can really influence the way the game goes. And I guess the other big doubt for us is probably in goals, with Gordon still struggling, so there's a good chance it'll be Scott Bain. I'm not getting any inside knowledge to say that Gordon will not make it, but at the moment I think it's probably 50-50 between him and Bain, depending on, I think if Gordon's fit, he'll play. But I think at the moment there's a significant doubt over Gordon being able to play, so it might be Bain and goals. Other than that, I think we're most of the rest of the guys are fit, and we did play pretty much a strong team today. The team that started today, I'll be honest, is probably not a million miles away from the team I would expect to start next week. So that, you know, take it out what you will in terms of a morale boost, because that team didn't manage to beat Aberdeen, but equally, that's the team that stuck five past Rangers a fortnight ago.
Yeah, Jay, we have this conversation about Celtic quite a lot. You look at Celtic's bench, and quite often that's what really gives me the fear, and Andy pointed that out as well. They've got an abundance of game changers that they can bring on. Saying that, we look at our squad, and far from the Celtic team today, we arrested a lot of players. We've given guys chances, if they've got niggles, to sit it out yesterday. Still got a good morale boosting win against Accies. We're looking in pretty good shape going into this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we said earlier, about the game yesterday, how we, you know, obviously threw a good number of younger players and fringe players into the team, and we got some great performances. So we can go into the Saturday's game with our own kind of game changers on the bench. They might not be quite in the same level or the same league as the guys in the Celtic bench, but if you're going to go into, you know, a one-off Scottish Cup final, if you want to have any aspirations whatsoever to win the Cup, then you need to focus on yourself. You need to focus on the positives in your own team. And I think that, you know, the team that we put out on Saturday, as you yourself said, you know, we've had some good results against Celtic, some good performances against Celtic this year. So the team we put out on Saturday is capable of getting a result. It will be hard work. We might need a bit of luck at times. We will obviously need, certain Celtic players to have an off day, or, you know, as Paul was saying, maybe not even make it at all. You know, at the end of the day, if somebody like Scott Brown was to miss the game on Saturday, that would be a massive bonus for us. But as we're alluding to, whoever would start in his place would still be a very, very capable player. But we need to focus on ourselves. We've got some really, really good footballers, but we've got the heart and the passion and the desire that we've shown throughout this season, particularly in the cup competitions. And if we can show that same level of commitment, I think there's very few teams in this league that are as fit as us. So if we go and play our game that we normally do, very similar to the game that Hibs played against Celtic at Easter Road a couple of weeks back, you know, Hibs lined up with the three at the back and they started the game hassling and getting in faces, pretty much identical to the way we play it. If we can do that, if we can do what we're good at, then there's no reason that we can't get a result on Saturday. And we ourselves have guys on the bench that can come on and change the game, as we saw on Saturday with the fringe players getting a fantastic win against Accies.
Paul, the meetings between the sides, with the exception of the game at Celtic Park, of course, have been fiercely contested affairs. The two games at Fir Park finishing in a draw, the League Cup final, Celtic eventually seen as off 2-0. You would expect more of the same on Saturday. It will be competitive. I don't imagine there will be free-flowing football on our side. We will be there to get in Celtic's faces, to compete and to battle, basically. That won't be something that worries players like Scott Brown, though, will it?
No, I don't think it worries players. You know, every team's got to find a way to win. You know, that's absolutely, you know, Motherwell's prerogative, Kilmarnock's prerogative, Aberdeen's prerogative when they're playing Celtic. You know, we it'd be patronising us to think that teams are just going to sit and let us play the way we want to play. That's not how football works. So I'm not really. It doesn't worry me too much about there being a physical battle, because as you say, the games at Fir Park in particular, and the cup final, probably up to the point of the kind of game-changing moments, were very, very hotly contested, very closely contested. A couple of, you know, controversial moments in there, whatever way you want to look at it. But you know, it's two teams that are just both out trying to do their damnedest to beat the other. But you know, I can't really see that being a problem for us. We've stood up to Motherwell quite well. Physically and feel that we're capable of playing against most teams, and you know, we'll try to impose the way we want to play on the game. You'll try to impose the way you want to play, and it's whoever can get a hold of the game. Early goal will be important, or the first goal certainly will be important in the game, and that's pretty much how it's going to be. We'll just have to play whatever Motherwell however they set out to play against us. I don't expect it to be a spectacular free-flowing game, but equally I think it can still be a very exciting game and a very closely contested game. So yeah, obviously from my perspective I want us to win as comfortably as I can, but I'm realistic. We've had hard games against Motherwell this year and I fully expect Saturday to be no different for that.
Buster, one of the perhaps concerns is the reputation that the team has established for itself over the course of the year. I think we're well known that we're a physical side. The press can be a bit clever with these things, and I think we were all quite relieved to see that it'll be Kevin Clancy in charge. There was obviously the real fear that Craig Thompson would stamp his authority in for the final time. So we've thankfully seen the back of Craig Thompson. This will be the last time he's ever darkening this podcast with his name. I suppose we have to play it quite cute in the press. There will be flashbacks to previous tackles, previous incidents. It's just the nature of the beast, really, but we've got to just manage it, I suppose.
That's it, and you can't let these things I don't think the team will let these things get to them, basically. I was reading somewhere the day that Tom Boyd started it already. You know, he done something for William Hill, apparently, and was already on the back of Mullow in their physical game and protection for this and that, whatever. I've not read the article yet either, to be fair. I was just what a couple of people commented on it. But again, it's going to be like that, to be fair. And do you know what? I don't care. I would like nothing better than us to kick Celtic off the park and win the game. But, you know, it is what it is. And when it comes to it, I think that's how we will basically set up. Not kick them off the park in an unfair way. Just, you know, that hustle and bustle that we seem to have developed as our game, basically. So, again, I don't think there's much you can do about the press other than the players and the manager can only answer the questions that are put to them. And, you know, they're obviously going to talk about how we're a fair team, we're a strong but fair team, and I think that's generally the case. You know, it's the same way, you know, Celtic and Scott Brown. You know, he's generally tough but fair. And if you know, players and managers don't like playing against Mullow, it's the same reason that players, you know, not so much players, sorry, but opposition fans don't like guys like Scott Brown and, you know, Neil Lennon in the past. These sort of guys who get in your face and give you hassle, and that's fine with me, to be honest with you.
Jay, another element of it is we talked about earlier on the overhaul during the summer. We don't expect drastic changes, but at the same time, there's guys that have been very impressive over the course of the season. This is a massive opportunity to put themselves in the shop window. A showpiece game, sellout crowd at Hampden. What better time to demonstrate your abilities?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's obviously, you know, crucial to our business model. We talk about it regularly. You know, guys like Curtis Main, Kipri, you know, those guys who are perhaps now at the top end when you're thinking about who our assets actually are. They're the guys who would have been sold on the club by being told, you know, come and follow in the footsteps of Louis Moult, you know, come to the club, do your thing,
and after a season or two, we'll sell you on. And you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're going to do that, then you do it at Hampden in the Scottish Cup final. It doesn't get any bigger a stage in Scottish football than that. And we know, we've seen enough this season to know that they're capable of it as well. Somebody like Curtis Main, you know, we're talking about players not being fazed by the occasion. Guys like Kipre, Main, even, you know, our own youth products, Campbell, Cadden, those guys aren't going to be fazed by it. But you're right, if somebody like Curtis Main wants to be, you know, the next Louis Moulton, inverted commas, then Saturday is the ideal opportunity to kind of make his mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And the build-up's only going to intensify over the next week or so. Paul, you've already mentioned prior to the League Cup final, you still get the same buzz, you still get the same levels of excitement. I wouldn't imagine that that's changed in the last 6 months.
No, not at all. It's a big thing for us getting to any cup final. It's a big thing for any team getting to any cup final. So we're you know, lucky enough that we get to, you know, a reasonable amount of finals in Scotland, and I've done reasonably well in the last few years and you know, trying to get some of the trophies under our belt, and the last couple of seasons in particular have been brilliant for us. And I think that's one of the things that does give me a lot of confidence for next week, is you've got a group of players there that are used to winning. You know, we've lost four games domestically in two seasons, you know, four of them to the five teams below us, immediately below us in the league this year, and we've not really slipped up in any meaningful way in any of the big games that we've played, either in the cups or in the league. We've sort of rose to the occasion, if I can put it that way. And that's what I'm looking for on Saturday, really. It's just that we've got some big game players. You've got guys like Tom Rogic, who have just got an unerring knack of turning up at Hampden and turning up in major, you know, big challenging, crunching league games and doing special things. We have got, if things aren't working, we have got guys we can bring in, as we talked about, and as, you know, due respect to Motherwell, you've got that as well, but we've got some players there that you would expect to be able to come into a game and probably be, have a point to prove, the Griffiths and Sinclairs and Paddy Roberts of this world, who would probably start in any other PFL team but are struggling to get into the Celtic team just now, but they'll be wanting to come on and do something as well if required. So I'm pretty confident, I'm not overconfident, and I do, you know, I think the occasion will be a great occasion. The Scottish Cup final generally is, whoever's playing in it. But I think with you guys being in it again this year, second time played each other in a final, which is pretty special in itself. You didn't get that a lot, albeit that's the last two seasons that's happened, with Aberdeen doing the same last year. But I just hope it's a good game. It'll be what it is in terms of the way the game unfolds. As we talked about before, it'll be how the teams play. But from our perspective, we'll turn up, big crowd there, hopefully to see a special day.
Well, guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this episode. We're recording a special with Stephen Robinson midweek. We'll get that out as quickly as we possibly can. I suppose it's just now time to soak up the excitement. It's going to be a fantastic week. It's going to be a fantastic day. We send our very best to everyone at the football club. It's time to change our pins from 1991 to 2018, and hopefully we can do it, and I hope with all my being that we do. Let's just enjoy it. And Paul Whale, I hope you don't enjoy it quite as much as we do. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing a very interesting 20 minutes with us. That's much appreciated.
No problem at all. Thanks, guys. And whoever it turns out on Saturday, I hope you enjoy your day up to a point.
Thank you. Guys, thanks as always.
Cheers.
Andy, Paul, cheers.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
I need to find somebody to tear me away from the car crying babies and switchblade days, the bark of the unemployment hounds, and the thud of the thick white skull on the ground. I won't die in the boat. the arms of the state, to be laid to rest in the wake of a faded town. And if the raincoats come to steal my home, there's a big white house at the end of the road. I see you wrapped in Egyptian thread in a marble garden, immune to the mess. If you leave this world in a rhinestone shroud, we could finally make your father proud. If I leave this world in a loaded daze, I'll finally have and eat my cake. I wanna die like a rich boy diving in a hydrocodone dream. You can die like a rich girl by me, or how the magazines will grieve. I wanna die like a rich boy bathing in a milk bath I could drown. I wanna die like a rich boy, even if we're as poor as we are now. I wanna die like a rich boy drowning in a lake that bears my name. You can die like a rich girl by me, flushed and radiant with fame. I wanna lie in state on the TV in a golden cardboard crown. I wanna die like a rich boy, even if we're as poor as we are now. Well, I found you now, so tear me away from the feral street they lumped us in. I'll be Shakespeare's moonstruck king. We can lose our minds at the top of the hill. We burn cash and carry a decadent flame into the night and beyond the grave.